1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An additional three people facing charges for the death of a black man at a Virginia psychiatric hospital last week.
The weight of seven individuals on his body while he's face down, handcuffed, with leg irons. And you say, my God, why?
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump representing the family of 28-year-old Ivo Otieno. San Quentin State Prison will transform into a facility where prisoners can get education, training, and rehab. That's from California Governor Gavin Newsom's office. The Pentagon has released video showing the moment a Russian jet collided with a U.S. drone after it attempted to spray the drone with jet fuel. Blaming the Federal Reserve Bank for the failure of two large U.S. banks the past week, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley.
Regulators weren't enforcing Dodd-Frank and the 2018 law the way they should have.
This is ABC News. A three-year mark.
The shelf life on a typical bottle of hand sanitizer is 2 to 3 years, which is why the EPA is now warning those who stockpiled at the beginning of the pandemic to get rid of any outdated bottles. Just don't dump it down the drain. Sanitizer is about 60% alcohol and could lead to fires, even explosions, if it builds up in your pipes. Instead, the EPA recommends disposing of it at a hazardous waste drop-off location. Empty plastic bottles can be recycled.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Ford recalling 1.3 million cars because the front brake hoses can break and leak brake fluid. Recall includes 2013 to 2018 Ford Fusions and Lincoln MKZs. Italy is going to start charging tourists to visit the Pantheon, an ancient Roman temple and church. Proceeds from the €5 or $5.28 fee will be split between Italy's culture ministry and the Rome diocese. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmere. Here's what you need to know. A maximum of 5 years in prison for a Wisconsin man who pleaded guilty Wednesday to supplying material support for terrorism, all in a plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. 54-year-old Brian Higgins is among five men who were set to stand trial later this year in the northern part of the state. The group planned to kidnap Whitmer and set off a civil war before the 2020 election. The National Curling Championships kick off in Wausau today. 24 teams from across the country are competing. The finals will be held on Sunday for the annual USA Curling National Club Championships. The history of curling dates back to 14th century Scotland. Wisconsin residents have been enjoying the sport since the mid-1800s. Curling became an Olympic event in 1998, and Team USA often includes Wisconsinites. I'm Jane Matmere. This is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot,
and now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on. If you are 45 and older, don't let but stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An additional three people facing charges for the death of a black...
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith. So welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
As our friend Doug Jones said yesterday, maybe take a step, Brad. So again, I'm waiting for more information. As our friend Doug Jones said yesterday, maybe take a step, Brad. His money. I think the investigations may work their way out. Find out what caused deregulation had a huge amount to do with this. You know, I think Peter Thiel pulling his money. I think there's something there. And to be angry, need to investigate that. I think deregulation had a huge amount to do with this. There's a lot here. But I do find it interesting to investigate quickly, and to be angry about it. How quickly look, our government I'm not move buying the taxpayers aren't going to be on hook for it, under, and yet we will loan see. Debt, but I do sure find it interesting that how quickly our government can not move. So much. But here to share sure some thoughts, don't maybe go under, give a and different yet perspective loan debt, to this situation. Sure, people stay in their homes. Morris Pearl to come share some thoughts. He's the chairman. Not so patriotic, but here to share some thoughts and maybe give a different perspective to the situation. Morris, I've asked our good for friend time for Morris Pearl to come
great
share
to
some
see
thoughts.
You,
he's the chairman.
Thank you.
Of
so
the patriotic millionaires. Let's get with the back here. You've got this Silicon Valley Bank. Morris, thanks for taking you've time got for the Signature
great to see
Bank.
You. Thank you.
You've got a couple so other ones that have gone let's down. Let's get with the back here. You've got this Silicon Valley Bank. Played in these. You've got the Signature Bank. You've got
gut
a couple
reaction,
other ones that have gone down.
Silicon Valley Bank.
Gut reaction
the same
as,
kind of thing.
As somebody who's
the
played in these,
and the
these worlds.
Bankers, gut
taking
reaction,
deposits,
the Silicon Valley
seeing
Bank.
How much
same kind of thing.
Money they can make
in
the
70s
and
the
80s.
Years.
Bankers
or
taking in deposits.
Guys go with
seeing how
deposits
much
deposits one day.
Money they can
they
make
to sell the mortgages
for 30
years.
Money to pay off the deposits.
Doing 30 or more.
Rates are up.
Guys
people
go withdraw their deposits
their
one day.
Last
they
year,
to
you know,
sell
Rick,
the mortgages to make up the money to pay off the deposits.
Of everyone paid
rates
off their mortgage
up
early in 2021.
People stopped
the
prepaying
last
their mortgages.
30%.
Last year.
account.
For that.
We know that our deposits are going to be insured because
this is where I think a lot of the
insurance says that.
There because
this
you're
is
right.
those
a lot of people
folks
that,
who
oh,
have
you know,
accounts
my money
well over
bank,
that
without explaining exactly
you know,
who
and
we're
this is where
about.
I think a lot of the
not,
confusion
not really.
Came because
the people
you're right.
Who were
a lot
worried,
of people thought, oh, like, I might not get my money out of the bank without
morning.
Explaining exactly who
on
we're talking about.
Sunday night, not really. People saying the people who were we worried, have 1,000 were guys in a hospital. Payrolls. We have a payroll morning. Wednesday morning. On if I Sunday night on Monday, there are people saying I don't have. We have 1,000 nurses in a hospital. This was the we have a payroll Wednesday the morning. Director if of the I employ them on Monday so and Tuesday, knowing I don't have money, of people I could be personally liable. Each had this a couple $1,000. Chairman of the but board, it was one of account director as far as the hospital. FDIC is concerned. So that was there doing was a direct deposit. Thousands of people and that's a thousand what people that each had a couple $1,000 worried about. But it was Sunday one account as far as the FDIC is concerned. Was thousands doing their of people deposits. Getting laid off on Monday and Tuesday? And that's what because there wasn't money in their payroll accounts Sunday night the meetings. And that's the was thousands of people getting laid off on Monday.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't driver, money in their payroll accounts bank to they direct deposits are and coming that's from. The, I mean, the fact that
that's
you know
the
trucking
you're
company
to worry
has
about.
1,000 drivers,
no. truck
and
driver,
that adds up to a lot
knowing
more than
what bank
the direct deposits
they
are coming from,
their
and the fact that
income.
You know the trucking company has 1,000 drivers,
that's,
I feel, and that adds
no,
up to a lot more than $250,000 when they pay all of them their monthly
income. I had a bunch of people very angry at Biden. And the administration
so
for doing
I mean,
anything.
Feel,
there's that's an important point to make.
It's something that people
need
to understand.
People
because I had a bunch of people very angry at
Biden
that these banks
and the administration
do these things,
for doing anything
because
there's,
these
there's
a
and the government comes
a sentiment
in
out there,
and sure
especially
that
among
working
people
who have been taking
it
on the chin for
so long.
They get into trouble,
that these banks do these things,
put themselves in these positions.
We can't get
the government comes in
and
makes sure that they're backstopped.
And
yet families,
when
they get into trouble,
who are showing up every day to those jobs,
people lose their jobs.
Who make
these
big
debt relief
for students.
You know,
we
help. We
can't
so
seem
to
help to
explain it.
You know,
I think
folks
just
who are
the ham and eggers who are showing up every day to those
you.
Jobs.
And
but Biden people
is,
who make these big mistakes,
student loan people.
You know, we help.
And
so
he's
it's
getting lawsuits
to explain it.
From
I
bill
think just
collectors
the way you did.
Saying they're going
to
lose their jobs collecting bills. Thank you. And if Biden is, he gives student loan to help the student loan people.
Yes, that's
and he's getting
true.
Lawsuits
I don't
from
really
bill collectors saying they're
going
to lose their jobs collecting bills.
No.
If
I
also he gives student loan
debt
relief,
they felt
and
they had
yes,
to
that's
do
probably
this
true.
Because
I don't really
they
have much sympathy for bill collectors harassing student loan people this week.
No.
But I also
so,
think that
and
they
not
felt they had to do this
at all
because they wanted to
have money in the
FDIC
paychecks
that
probably will
this week.
And
if not,
they're
going to
be
they're
not using
the big
any
banks,
government money
at all.
FDIC
too.
Fees.
They have money in the FDIC
this.
Funds.
You heard
the president.
Probably will cover
said,
all this.
No,
and if
not,
bailing out the
they're
going to
be assessing
not
the big
bailing
banks,
out the executives,
higher FDIC
they're not bailing out the
shareholders
to pay for
they're
this.
Not bailing out the
you heard the president.
The, investors.
Said, no,
they're
only
not
the
bailing out
checking
the
bank. Accounts.
They're not bailing
and
out the executives. They're not bailing out the shareholders. They're not bailing out the executives. The investors.
I hope
only the people with checking accounts.
I hope that is
accurate. Only with
because I don't think we know how deep this
not
goes,
with
do
one
we? I mean,
single
do we,
penny
do we have a sense
of
how deep this problem is? Because
I hope
you know,
that
I,
is accurate.
Remember the last time, you know,
because I don't think we know how deep
that,
this
boom,
goes, do we? I mean, do we have a sense of how deep
I mean,
this problem is?
Bunch, and that's the
because
idea
you know, I seem to remember the last time, you know, there was one, then there was another, then boom, there was a bunch.
Are protected, and you don't have to take your money out.
I
mean, I hope there's not a bunch, and that's the idea. Is telling people
very
few banks.
Your
checking accounts
this kind of
interest
rate risk,
and you don't have to take your money
by
out
investing
of your
account. Billions
and
billions
of dollars. Hopefully, people will listen.
Yeah.
Very
but
few banks.
Quite sure there aren't any
were taking
others,
this kind of interest rate.
Most
risk
banks
this bank was
by
investing
loans,
billions and billions
every
of dollars in
30
or more year.
But
and so they go
quite
up
sure
in
there aren't any others.
Interest
actually,
rates as time goes
most
on.
Most
banks
rates go up.
Make
so
business loans that renew
this,
every
this
6 months
bank,
or every year. And so they go up in interest rates as time goes on when rates
in fact,
go up.
You know, you've
so
got
this,
you know, people saying,
but I've been told this bank,
who's
the
Silicon Valley
Bank,
was
heavily
leveraged into startups.
Environment, social, and government.
In fact, you know, you've got people saying
it's all the green energy culture who's brought these down.
All invested in this ESG, the environment, social, and government.
It's
all the green energy. That's what brought these down.
Money
it wasn't.
Good.
It wasn't mortgages or anything else.
Was
so
they were giving
lending
money to
the startups.
They were getting deposit
rate
mortgages.
That
was
their
problem. And they were investing
good.
In some government bonds.
Their
problem
was
they were giving people 30-year fixed rate mortgages.
Their
problem was
their
not
problem.
People
and
they
were
investing
to pay their
government
bonds.
They hardly
loaned
any money
20, 30
years
also.
To the startups,
but
their
basic
money from
problem was 30-year
mortgages. Their they problem were, was not they, people they were taking failing money to pay their loans.
They hardly loaned any money.
Startups got their money because the startups were getting their money from venture capitalists.
Used them for payroll month after month after month.
They were, and then they were taking all that money and deposits
and trying to earn
when
a
the
spread
startups
by
got
investing
money,
in 30-year mortgages.
And then they were going to use them for payroll month after month after month.
I mean, frankly,
and then
they
were taking all that money
they were sleeping
and trying
switch.
To earn a spread by investing in 30-year mortgages. That's what they were doing.
But let me ask you this, because, you know, Peter Thiel.
I mean, frankly, they weren't woke at all. I think they were asleep at the switch.
Does he have any responsibility in this, or was he just being a good vulture capitalist? But let me ask you this, because, you know, Peter Thiel, his name's been thrown around a lot. Does he have any responsibility in this, or was he just being a good vulture capitalist and taking his money where he saw the opportunity?
It was pretty obvious.
I mean,
in their end of year financial statements,
a lot of people should have known a while ago that this was happening.
It was pretty obvious.
I would note that the president of the bank,
in their end of year financial statements, they filed months ago,
according to a 10b5 plan.
Not months ago, weeks
ago. But he only created the 10b5 plan and 3 weeks ago.
I would note that the president of the bank,
one might argue that he had
was according to a 10b5 plan,
seeing as the
bank was clearly
the 10b5 plan.
Clearly borderline insolvent.
So
in
one November
argue that he had inside information then
that
seeing
his bank
plan to clearly insolvent,
clearly borderline insolvent
in November and December last year.
So maybe some jail time there, because
that, you know, making a plan to sell stock in February.
They took bonuses hours before.
Inside information.
And I know Senator John Tester is saying
maybe
some jail time there. But I'm saying
we never seem
to be able to lock these people up because they took bonuses hours before.
There should be.
And I know Senator John Tester is saying we should claw those back.
I don't know what
I'm saying
illegal,
it should be a little bit more than just
this
clawing
be
back
illegal
the bonus.
If I was in charge, I
would
write
there
some laws.
There should be laws against. I mean, I'm not
bankers
a lawyer
who are running
what
an FDIC insured institution.
This
are
should
not be allowed
illegal
if I was in charge. Yeah, I would write some laws.
How much of this also has to do with
bankers
the fact
who are running an FDIC insured institution are not allowed to do this.
I have problems with the deregulation culture.
The fact that we
how much of this played into
Trump years?
I know there was a big push.
We've been talking about this the last couple of days.
I'm, you know, the big
I have problems with the deregulation culture.
How much of that plays into this?
How much of this played into
this?
I know there was a big push that we need to help these regional banks because, you know, the big boys have all this power. How much of that plays into this?
Scrutiny at
they did help the regional banks.
This bank, is way above
this bank
was
probably
like $200 billion.
If they left
instead
the laws the way it were,
$250 billion
scrutiny at above
$50 billion,
probably
which the bank is way above
should
50,
have would have
like
noticed
around
maybe
$200 billion.
This bank
instead of making
the
limit
$250 billion.
You mean
the regulators?
What they did,
probably
they would have failed.
Should
asset
have would have noticed
liability
maybe a year
ago.
This bank was getting
into
trouble
class
and not
what they're doing.
I mean. So
well,
what they did, they would
they
have failed
have
asset management,
manager
asset liability management 101
year? Is that accurate?
Or if they'd taken the
could
class,
be part of the problem,
given what they're doing.
Yes, that position was
so,
vacant.
As I
like
understand,
April
they didn't have a risk assessment manager
November,
for,
December,
I guess, 9 months last year. Is that accurate?
Could be
I mean,
part
just,
of the problem.
I mean,
yes,
like
that position was vacant from like April
errors.
Through
these guys
November,
running
December,
bank were just incompetent or... Or they just decided they'll put it all on the line because maybe they'll win.
And
these guys running
this
bank were just
incompetent,
or they just decided
they'll
put it all on the line because maybe they'll win, and they'll make a huge amount of profit and get big bonuses, and if they lose, well, they'll be fired, but the FDIC will sort it out.
And that's where I go, and this is where my anger is,
on that front,
that we've created an environment,
we hear a lot about moral hazard, job,
we've created an environment where nobody fails in this world.
On that front, where
we saw a bunch of that, that's the bottom, the guy loses his home, loses his job, families are out in the street.
I mean, I'm on the other side of
look at 2009,
because
8, 9, and 10.
Case, it's the bank
we saw a bunch of that. That's,
unemployed.
That's what my struggle with
and
this.
The guy's
I think in this case,
clear yesterday.
I mean, I'm on the other side of this one.
I think
because in this case,
the
it's the bank executives who are unemployed.
To save the little guys.
And the guys
who had these
$3,000 and $5,000
payroll
checks.
So I think he
did fire the bank
FDIC and the regulators did add to save the little guys.
I mean,
these
and they're not paying
$5,000
payroll checks.
So people lost
and did
I mean,
fire
the
bank executives
of dollars
and did. And I mean, they're not paying
the shareholders
anything.
Out
okay.
Good. That's
so
what I want.
Lost,
lastly, I want to get
I mean,
your thoughts
the shareholders
on
lost billions
the crypto
of dollars
markets. I don't know. Do you do anything with the crypto markets?
And
I don't know anything about
the little guys seem
it. But evidently,
to be
the reports
okay.
that I've been reading,
that's what
example.
I want to hear. Lastly,
now,
I want to get your thoughts
because
on
of this.
The crypto markets. I don't know. Do you do anything with the crypto markets?
I don't know anything about it.
Thoughts on crypto?
But evidently, the reports that I've been reading,
do we not
now big trouble because of this? Because
now,
our signature bank was big
crypto,
into
really
this.
Do.
Okay. Any thoughts on crypto
like,
and how this plays, or do we
like
not
Rick,
care about
Rick
crypto?
Smith dollars to people? I mean,
now, I recommend ignoring
maybe
crypto.
Some people
I
would
really
take
do.
Them,
okay.
But
It's like,
I don't know why.
It's like if you issued like Rick Smith dollars to people. I mean,
so last question.
Maybe
I
some
got
people would
where
take
do you see
them,
this going in the coming days? Are we?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, you're a guy who watches this stuff. Do you fear it gets worse? Do you think,
last question
I
got.
Be okay?
Where do you see this going in the coming days?
I gotta tell you, over the weekend
I
had people, the sky's falling.
Yeah, I mean, you're a guy who watches this stuff. Do you fear it gets worse? Do you think, am I going to lose everything?
Things are
going
to be okay? Because
where do you see things
going? I
gotta
tell you, over the weekend I had people, the sky's falling. It's the end of the world.
I
had friends calling, am I going to lose everything? Where do you see things going? I know predictions are tough. Any thoughts?
I think the Treasury Secretary,
America,
Bloomberg from the FDIC,
Biden,
the Fed are holding up
the
sky.
People in Pennsylvania,
and they're not gonna let it fall.
And other places,
and
need
I think that we,
paychecks
in America,
every single week,
the
and can't go
Biden understands.
And I think
people
in
Pennsylvania
and other places,
even at the
who
need
the
their paychecks every single
That's,
week.
That is exactly what I wanted
them.
To hear.
And
Morris,
I think
I
they're
going
to protect
time.
Those
Great
people,
stuff. Look forward to talking to you again
even
real
at the expense of the investors and executives.
Thank you. That's our good friend Morris.
That is exactly
Pearl.
What
sure
I wanted to
their
hear.
Website,
Morris, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Rick, right back with your thoughts.
See you next week,
Rick.
Thank you.
Our good friend Morris Pearl. Make sure you check out their website, patrioticmillionaires.org. Take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. Another Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers
we
who are the
AFGE,
vital threads of the fabric
the American
of American
Federation
life.
Of Government
we support
Employees.
Our nation's military.
We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life.
Crises
we
and
support
natural
our
disasters.
Nation's military.
We provide
we take
services
care of
to
our
nation's
veterans.
Seniors.
We
protect the
American
our
Federation
borders.
Of Government
we
Employees.
We respond to our
we
nation's crises and natural disasters.
We are
provide
AFGE,
services
the
to
American
our nation's
Federation
seniors,
of Government Employees.
The American
employees.
Federation of Government Employees.
We work federal and D.C.
for
government workers who are the vital AFGE, threads of the fabric of American Federation of Government
we
Employees.
Our nation's
we
military.
Represent 700,000
care of our
federal and D.C. government
we
workers
our
who are the vital threads of the fabric of American
crises
life.
And natural
we support
disasters.
Our nation's military.
We
take care of our nation's veterans.
The
we
American
protect our
Federation
nation's
of
borders.
Government employees.
We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors.
Welcome
the American
back to the Rick
Federation
Smith Show.
Of Government
now,
Employees.
Here is Rick Smith.
We work for America.
I got to tell you, I'm listening to more
Welcome
talk,
back to the Rick Smith Show.
I'm glad
now,
he
here is Rick Smith.
Much more clear and concise than. I got to tell you, in listening to
that I've heard
Morris talk before.
I'm glad
the
executives got fired.
They did.
It was much more clear and concise than
bonuses yet.
That
I've heard it
will
happen,
before.
May happen. Hopefully, it will.
The executives got fired.
And the shareholders
and they did.
Got
still
the stiff.
Not clawing
that
back the bonuses
often.
Yet.
That
you know, I got an
hopefully
angry
will
email
happen.
The other
may happen. Hopefully, it will.
It was yesterday.
And the shareholders
fact,
got
I think
the,
I
got
read
the
part
stiff.
Of it on the air.
That doesn't happen
yesterday
often.
On the show where.
You
know,
I got an angry email the other
the auto industry.
Yesterday.
And I said,
you
know,
the weird
yesterday.
Thing about that was,
in fact,
was
I think
really
I read part
so
of it on the
bail,
air
it was a controlled bankruptcy.
Yesterday on the show where
and
you know, someone was
talking about Obama bailing out the auto industry.
And I said,
you know,
the
weird thing about that
was
to the auto
it wasn't
companies,
really
that
so much as a
bailout
as it was a controlled bankruptcy.
And
in
that controlled bankruptcy,
one of these bankruptcies
we gave
that the
bunch of loans
take it on the chin
to the auto companies that they
paid back.
And
it was the first
kind of
time in one of these bankruptcies
that the
out.
Workers didn't take it on
when
the
these,
chin.
These crises
that they
happen.
Got to keep their
when
pensions.
These rich people, they
and
they know,
it's
they
this
know
kind
gonna,
of stuff that I think is important
out.
To point out.
But when it happens,
when these
you know,
these crises
they
happen,
take it on the chin.
When these
too.
These rich people, they
and I'm glad Morris pointed
know,
that out.
They know they're going
to
get. It's really
they're
going to
get bailed out
for us to understand.
When it happens. You know,
I see
do
this
they
different
take it on the
going
chin
very
too.
Differently with a Trump
I'm glad
administration.
Morris pointed that out.
It's really important
what
for,
was his
for
name?
Us to understand.
I see
the
this
Treasury
different
going
from,
very differently with
Trump
a Trump
era?
Administration. With a,
I see it very differently
what
going
was his
under,
name?
Under his rule.
What was the Treasury Secretary for
one of those things
Trump
where
I see it very differently going under his rule.
I'm feeling a lot better.
And it's just one of those things where...
And
I'm because the policies
I'm feeling a
and
lot
the direction
better
that they
with,
would take
with
Mnuchin
Biden in the White
was
House.
His name, Steve Mnuchin.
And I feel much better
because the policies
you know, having
and the direction
you know,
that they
Yellen
would take.
Mnuchin.
Mnuchin was his
because
name, Steve Mnuchin.
The shareholders didn't get
I feel much better
you know, having, you know, Janet Yellen and the workers did. Mnuchin. I mean, because, you know, the shareholders didn't get made whole. I voted for Joe Biden. And as I've said a thousand times, it wasn't my first choice. Wasn't even my third choice.
This is why
I voted for Joe
Biden. But I'm happy
with the way he's responded.
And as I've said a thousand times,
he wasn't my first choice.
And done it in a way without hyperbole, done it in a way without, with fighting
the other
side. But I'm happy
with the way he's responded.
Just that
crisis after crisis.
Get the job done.
And done it in a way without hyperbole, done it in a way without,
you know,
fighting the other side.
One of the things that he likes about him is
just that kind of, get the job done.
Our parents.
In fact, I had a conversation with a guy today. You know, it was just.
One of the things that he likes about it is it's that
looking for
it's like congratulations.
Our parents and our grandparents.
You just show up, you do your job.
You know, it was just you just do the job.
And this is
congratulations. You just show up, you do your job.
We are reshoring manufacturing because
and this is what I like about it. The rest of the globe's in turmoil.
We are not, and all of the
we
all
are
the
reshoring manufacturing.
You, we are not
because
for major
there's a reason
around the world.
We are
the
not
rest of the globe's
to
in turmoil.
The things that we need.
We
the
are
pandemic,
not all of the military
pandemic
will tell you,
we are
not
prepared
for major
conflict
around
the
world.
The alarm
we
that
we
as
a country
need
the things that we need.
While
the
I
pandemic
was screaming about
that
this for years before
pandemic
the pandemic
was maybe this
I think
was the
that
wake up
the
call
alarm
that,
that we
needed.
As a country needed.
While I was
to
screaming
say,
about this for years before
machine,
the pandemic,
you got to be able to build.
Maybe this was that wake up call that the rest of us
if you're going to be a first world country. You got
to
be able
say,
to
say, look,
produce,
if you're
going to
have
a
war machine, you got to be able to build.
And you've got to be able to do it in a way that's
going
to create
if you're going
jobs,
to be a first world country,
employment,
you
got
to be able to
produce,
create
what
a standard
you need.
Of living.
And I think
and you've
got
to be able to do it in a way that's
going
to create jobs,
moving away,
create
some
employment,
of the neoliberal
be able to create a standard
while
of living.
He was in the Senate,
and
I
hear people
Biden
understand.
Well, you know, he did this back,
which is why I see us moving away from some of the neoliberal tendencies. While he
was arguing
Senate.
Against
and
it
I hear
back
people
then.
All the time. Well, you know, he did
was
this
not
back.
A DLC Democrat. Was
I know.
Not a big Clinton supporter,
and I didn't like it.
Was not a neoliberal.
And was arguing against it back then.
People
was not evolved. A DLC Democrat. Was not a big Clinton supporter.
And he's evolved on a lot of these issues.
Was not a neoliberal.
Also, I like the fact that you know he's not going to cave on Social
people
Security.
Evolve.
It's one of the again.
And
you
he's
want
evolved
something.
On
you want
a lot of these
hear me
issues.
Bash Obama. That's something to
also,
bash
I like
him
the
on.
Fact that you know he's
that
not going to cave on Social Security.
Was BS.
It's one of the again. You want something? You want to hear me bash Obama?
But here's the thing.
That's something to
we
bash him on.
React strong.
That
enough.
Simpson
we
Bowles Commission was BS.
And they know both sides know this. Both
but
sides.
But here's the thing.
Don't
we
didn't fear
react strong enough.
We as a working
country.
Class are too divided.
Both sides.
And they know.
Don't,
both sides
know
this.
They've segmented
both
us
sides.
Off.
They've divvied
fear
up
the working people of this country.
Both sides
I look at
don't,
France
because they know they've segmented us off. They've divvied people up.
They in France were talking about raising the retirement age from 62
I look at France.
To 64. And you had people shutting.
They in France
down.
Were talking
trucks
about raising the retirement age
street,
from 62 to 64.
And you're seeing it right now.
And you had people
in fact,
shutting
Macron, the president
down.
Of France,
trucks turned sideways
has
on the streets.
Decided,
mass
you
protests.
Know what? Screw Parliament.
And you're seeing it right now.
I'm going to unilaterally raise
in
the
fact,
retirement age.
Macron,
it is going
to
be
interesting
to
see
France,
what happens.
Has
the next several
decided.
Days
you know
in
what?
France.
Screw Parliament. I'm going to unilaterally raise the retirement
it
age.
To
it is going to be interesting to see what happens.
The retirement
over the
age
next.
For me in this moment is 67. They're talking about raising it to 70 and beyond.
Because as the one senator said, well, people want to work into their 70s. I don't know anybody who wants to retire.
Question is, do you?
And when do we become that country that goes, no, as a working class? It's kind of where my mind is. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. Too long have others spoken for us. Those were the words published on this day in labor history. The year was 1827. This was the message of the co-editors of the Freeman's Journal, the first black newspaper in the United States. Slavery had been outlawed in New York that same year. A
A group of prominent free African Americans from the Northeast gathered in New York to discuss forming a newspaper. As a result, two young black New Yorkers, John Brown Russwurm and Samuel Cornish, founded the Freeman's Journal. It gave a voice to the 300,000 African Americans living in the North. Black people had been almost entirely left out of the mainstream press or were treated with racism. This new paper focused on black perspectives. It reached 11 states. Its pages covered news and events and took a stand against slavery and lynching. While the paper only lasted a few years, it had done something bigger. It launched the idea of a black press. More black-owned newspapers followed. Before the Civil War, these papers became a leading voice in the call to end the slave labor system. In the early 20th century, black newspapers in northern cities published articles, political cartoons, and advertisements about northern employment opportunities for African Americans living in the Jim Crow South. The black newspaper, the Chicago Defender, was one outlet that led this charge. In 1916, the paper published a political cartoon showing a black man with a broken ankle chain. The word labor was written across his back as he headed toward a train car labeled Northern Industries. It's estimated that 1.5 million African Americans moved north during the Great Migration between 1915 and 1930, transforming the labor force of northern cities.
Profiteering is always bad, but there are degrees of profiteers. Level 1 includes your everyday price gougers like banks and airlines. At level 2, you'll find the more demonic outfits like loan sharks and far-profit college hucksters. Then, top of the heap at level 3, you'll find Eli Lilly. This $288 billion drug-making colossus is America's primary peddler of insulin, the diabetes drug that some 7 million Americans must constantly take, literally to stay alive. But having both monopoly power over the market and such a huge base of captive customers, Lilly has gleefully jacked up its prices again and again over 3 decades, with it now costing each sufferer as much as $1,000 a month. Finally, under intense political pressure to stop its extreme life-threatening gouging, the giant recently announced it would cut its insulin prices by a whopping 70%. In full-page ads, Lilly hailed its corporate generosity, magnanimously declaring that, quote, everyone deserves affordable options. But, hello, it has intentionally charged unaffordable rip-off prices for 30 years, wallowing in monopoly profits. And hello again, if Lilly says it can keep profiteering on its insulin product despite slashing the price by 70%, that means it has been overcharging patients by 70% all this time. Yet its rich executives want us to thank them? No, thank you. Even with a price cut, they're still charging $66 for a single vial of insulin. Guess what? It costs Lilly less than $7 to produce that vial, and it could be sold profitably for under $9. Meanwhile, Lilly's price cut is voluntary, meaning it can raise the price again at any time. And CEO David Ricks has refused to pledge that he'll keep the medicine affordable.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've been waiting all day for this moment. I've been waiting all day to talk to my good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman and political analyst, to get his thoughts on the fact that the Senate today voted to advance a repeal of the 1991 and 2002 authorizations for the use of military force. And again, this is another one of those moments where you go, there's so much around that era, that 91 era. There's so much around, you know, the 2002 era of, you know, sending people into Iraq that I think we should revisit, you know, like that whole they had weapons of mass destruction thing. We should be opening this up and holding people accountable. But here to share some thoughts on this and, well, all of the other news we can get to, our good friend Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of this? Is this a good thing? Is this going to be helpful? Does this matter in this moment?
Well, it's good. Look, it's been 20 years to the day when we began our, you know, shock and awe campaign. And as you and I have discussed on your show over the years, when I've been asked what was the worst thing that happened to you, I don't answer Jack Abramoff and the scandal. I answer that vote to allow full force. And the reason I voted that way, as many members did, was because I was shown information which, again, to this day, is kept secret, which is ridiculous, Rick. It should be revealed what we saw.
Yeah.
And then we need to ask the question, why did you show this? Who were you standing down there in the well of the house? Why did you lie? So we voted based on the, you know, quote, information we saw. There were no weapons of mass destruction. What's amazing, though, is that the full force and ability stayed intact all these years. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing that we haven't undone this. But and how many times would we use this as justification to go into other places, though?
What's that?
How many times have we used this as justification to use force in other places? I mean, you know, what were the consequences?
And that's what's interesting. This, you know, 19 Saudis flew on planes going into our buildings, and we used full force and power against Saddam Hussein, and then it was kept there, what, just in case somebody else wanted to go somewhere else? Like we used to say, you know, Dick Cheney turned to Bush and said, I said Iran, not Iraq. I mean, this whole thing was long overdue. I'm glad the Senate did it, because if something happens again like that, it should be evaluated, number one. Rick, members that were there when I was there should speak up and say, wait a minute, fooled me once. You know the old shame on shame on me. And this should have been, again, you know, just removed a long time ago.
No, and this again, when these things come up, it's then, you know, brings up all of it to where, you know, we should be getting to the bottom of all of it so that it never happens again, because thousands of lives were lost, you know, trillions of dollars of treasury, just thrown away, and you know, just the chaos that, and you know, the mass refugee problems and all of it.
Right. You know, the other thing about this too, after it was found no weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, and that we were either lied to or somebody was pretty stupid that took this information together, although we know Ahmed Chalabi, who's now dead, who wanted to be president of Iraq, was behind this misinformation campaign. In my book, in fact, I wrote that I was in London when somebody pointed out there and said, do you know who that man is? I said, no. They said, that's Ahmed Chalabi. He will take your country into war, which he did within 6 months, you know, with the information. What amazes me, though, is when, and I was asked this question many times, you know, what about your vote? And when members actually answered, Rick, well, Saddam was a bad guy. Well, you know what? I think that the premier of China is a bad guy. Maybe we should have invaded Beijing. It actually would have maybe got some jobs back. So you don't invade based on a bad guy. Otherwise, you know, there's plenty of them around the planet.
Yeah, but the other part of that is he was our bad guy. I mean, that's...
Well, it was who we designate. And as I told Karl Rove one time to his face, I said, when you have these discussions at the White House, you don't have a face in the room that is from there. You know, the Iraqis, the Arabs, you know, you don't have them. And then I also told him, when this began, you may get the democracy you don't want. And then we took the bold step, not only with this misinformation campaign that was fed, and of course, mainstream corporate media bought into it and fed it, but on top of it, we appoint an American governor of Iraq. I mean, just look at and all of that, the president was able to do it because we gave him full ability.
Yeah. Whatever happened to L. Paul Bremer?
Yeah, I don't know. He lost, how many billions did he lose over there on pallets?
Yeah, I think it was like $8 billion within a couple of...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, give or take $6 to $8 billion. I don't know what happened to him.
No, and it's not just the 2002 authorization. I go back to 91. You know, I still remember the candy striper, and this is going way back. You know, the pulling babies out of incubators. That was all fabricated.
I'm not familiar with that.
No, this the candy striper, a Kuwaiti, of a diplomat's daughter or niece or something, who claimed she was a candy striper at a hospital in Kuwait, and the Iraqi soldiers came in and pulled babies out of incubators and bayoneted them on the floor, and it was part of the outrage campaign that got us as a country moving in that direction. It was on 60 Minutes. It was a big
that's
deal.
Right, I forgot about that.
And she was never in the country. She was not in the country when she claimed that was happening. It was all made up.
And then the royal family fled to London. We went in, took care of everything, and then I think they gave, after a while, gave most of the contracts to other countries to rebuild.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is a good start. We got a lot more to get to. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney. Bob, I want to get your thoughts on this story out of I guess Wisconsin, or I guess this is actually Michigan that's happened. Wisconsin guy, this Brian Higgins, he's pled guilty, a reduced charge in his role to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. This, I guess, another big victory for the prosecutors there, and kind of going against the whole, it was all made up, there was nothing going on there, another conviction.
Right. The Wisconsin man pled guilty for his part in the plot. His name is Brian Higgins, and he was trying to provide, basically, he was charged with trying to provide material support for terrorism. Now, that carries a maximum prison term of 5 years, which, you know, it kind of amazes me. The maximum prison term is 5 years for providing material support for terrorism, be it domestic or international, I guess. But he drove past her second home, and then the friends of his waited across the lake for a signal from him with this, like, laser-style device. And he was, I think they were scheduled, he and four others were scheduled to face a trial basically later this year. They were going to go on trial.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset, lock them up. Are you surprised at the complaining and the whining from like the Marjorie Three names and the Louis Gohmerts of the world about how bad the D.C. jails are and you know how bad the criminal and trying to make the people that have been arrested some kind of martyrs when the reality is, yeah, our jails are bad. Maybe you should fix them, but you can't claim it's that they're doing something special to these people. They're criminals.
When I was down there, nobody came to see if I was okay. You know, I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It amazes me. Marjorie Three Names, nothing amazes me, I guess, about her. But a few of the members that went down to see how the insurrectionists were taken care of in the jail, they probably don't even look at their own local jails to see how their people were housed in their state, you know, but they went down there to make sure that, you know, the people that were sightseers in the Capitol are taken care of in the DC jail system.
Yeah. Now here's for me, this is one of those moments, cause I like to try and find some common ground with people I disagree with. There's common ground to be had here. Our jails are not the Club Med that I'm sure a lot of these people who are now locked up for their crimes probably believed them to be. You know, because they were swimming pools and watch cable TV and lift weights all the time. It's not the Club Med they thought. It's actually pretty bad. So there's some common ground here that maybe we could fix our judicial system, that you can get speedy trials like we're supposed to have, and that the prisons and the holding cells aren't as horrible as they as I've heard they are. Unfortunately, I've only heard how bad they are.
Well, I mean, if they went in their own states or federal prisons in their nearby states, it'd be one thing. I just don't like the idea of why they went down there, you know, to coddle, quote, the sightseers. But look, I was in, and if I had a dollar for everybody to say, oh, you were in Club Fed because Barbara Walters, you know, had done a story years before. and one of them was Morgantown Federal Correction, which is not a camp. It's a minimum. But I assure you, of the 1,300 people that were in there, I used to call it, you know, the warehouse. And there were a lot of people, obviously addicts, people with different forms of mental illness. People were in there that weren't the Medellin drug cartel, but they were charged like they were. They were drug addicts, and they were charged and given 10 years, 9 years, 8 years. And I've often said, and I've told this privately to several members over the years, haven't done it recently, Rick, but I've told them privately, tell the Bureau of Prisons, and I said, I'll sit down with you. I'll give you all the information you need. Tell the Bureau of Prisons you want to go into the prison, and don't let them tell you that, you know, you're not going to be safe. You want to go into the prison, and I said, I'll give you a list of things. And when they try to take you on the, quote, tour, here's the questions that you ask them, and you tell them, here's what I want to see. You know, because I was in there. It's just ludicrous. And it's not just the food. I can tell you examples of people that were supposed to, you know how you hear, you get your education, people say, well, those prisoners get school paid for. Try to get your tests proctored so you can actually, you know, get your grades. Good luck in a lot of cases. It's actually just pathetic. So yeah, I wish they would get common ground. We have more people incarcerated than anywhere else, not per capita, but actual numbers of anywhere else on earth.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. And look, I hear it even to this day that, you know, people think, oh, it's this wonderful Club Med. I'm going, no, that's not what I hear. And it's interesting to hear the whining coming out of these folks from January 6th, which I understand. According to the U.S. attorney, there's going to be another 1,000 people that evidently they're about to pick up. Are you hearing this?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, evidently there's supposed to be another 1,000 that they're, I guess, lower level offenders. But evidently there's more, and good. I guess we need that.
Well, I was thinking some tough plea deals here and there. If they, the government had gotten a little bit tougher, might have also made a few more people do a plea deal, which if they weren't doing major damage, they could do community service, you know, do a certain amount of ankle bracelet, amount of volunteer work. I mean, there's a lot of different ways the system could, you know, can take care of that.
Finally, I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, your former party, the Republican Party, seems to have a lot of characters. Very interesting ones. I mean, you got George Santos, who is, he's filed a letter of intent to run for re-election, and good for him. But I'm looking at this Tennessee representative, this Andy Ugles, who evidently, and I got to know if this is something he can get in trouble for. Evidently, he ran a GoFundMe account that raised about $25,000 to build a children's burial garden for stillborn children and kids and I guess ones that are lost prematurely, so that they could bury them. And because I know, like in Ohio, even if you have an abortion in Ohio, they give you the you have to dispose of the fetus either through burial or cremation. But this guy raised $25,000, and there's no burial garden, and he's not saying where the money went. Is this something he can get in trouble for?
Well, yes, definitely. Now, you know, he's got a little bit of Santos, a little bit, not a lot, in the sense he had an inflated resume, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know, he's had some hits on that, but this is this was a personal tragedy where the stillborn death of a child, who he will post on his social media. By the way, he posts the picture. And then he did the GoFundMe, and he took in, of course, like you said, you know, thousands of dollars. It was supposed to be for a children's burial garden. Again, there's no burial garden. No one knows where the donations went. And he refuses to say what he did with the money. Now, what ought to happen? And let me give you a quick example, Rick. There was a guy I was in prison with. He was a volunteer fireman. He took the debit card in the state of Delaware, put it into a machine, took out $200 or $300. The bank was in Maine, okay? The feds went in and they got him for interstate wire fraud. And he served 4 years.
Wow.
On this case with this congressman, I guarantee you on a GoFundMe, I guarantee you money came from other states, right?
Yeah.
And if he didn't use it for that purpose, that's federal. If the feds want to, they could depose him, ask him to be deposed. Then if he lies, that's obstruction of justice, perjury. If he doesn't lie, then it's interstate wire fraud. So this is an easy one. Yes, they could do that.
Wow. Well, this is going to be a story interesting to watch over the next several days to see him undig himself out of this mess. And it's amazing how many of these swindlers and cons, you know, have these things that are going on, and abuse tragedy. I hope he built a garden somewhere, and I hope this is all wrong. But to this point, it's not looking like it.
Well, he won't answer any questions. That kind of tells you, yeah. You know, maybe he's busy out making the garden now.
He's out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Scary, sad stuff. But, Bob, I appreciate the time, as always. Good stuff.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much, our good friend Bob Nay. No, seriously, I mean, I don't want to believe everyone's horrible, but I look at this stuff, and they just keep proving time and time and time again. I want to believe, you know, people are decent and do the right things. And again, they just, well, that. And if this is what... if he did what he did, there should be a place for it. Quick break, right back.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. Albert Shanker was fed up. Mr. Shanker taught math at a junior high school in Astoria, Queens. He and his colleagues felt they were underpaid and not respected. The assistant principal of the school even spied on their classrooms with binoculars. The teachers felt they had little power to change things because of how divided the teachers were. There were more than 100 representative organizations dividing New York teachers along lines of ethnicity, gender, and subject matter. The Teachers Guild was the only group affiliated with organized labor, but they only had 1,500 members of the approximately 45,000 teachers in New York City. Shanker decided to join the guild anyway, and with the support of his fellow teacher Dan Sanders and the American Federation of Teachers organizer David Selden, they started holding meetings. The meetings included talks about unions, drinks, and guitar music. More and more teachers began to attend. In 1959, 1,200 members of the High School Teachers Association walked off the job in a wildcat strike. Even though the HSTA was a rival organization, the guild members supported the strike. When the high school teachers won a wage increase, momentum began to build. And on this day in labor history, the year was 1960. The two groups merged to form the United Federation of Teachers Local 2 of the AFT. The new union still only represented a fraction of the New York City teachers, yet they decided to test their power and hold a one-day strike. Less than 6,000 teachers participated, but the new union had proven its willingness to act. In December of 1961, UFT became the bargaining union for all New York teachers. And out of these first steps, the UFT today represents nearly 200,000 teachers and is a powerful force for labor rights in New York.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. A quick show programming note. Friday, we're going to be off for the big holiday, St. Paddy's Day. Heading up to Boston with my kids. We have this little ritual. You know, just started last year. We'll go up to Boston. We spend The weekend, going to go see our friends at the Dropkick Murphys. That should be fun. Also going to see some of the local historic sites. Little education. Important to see, the kind of stuff that they've got there. Last year we were on the USS Constitution. They've decked it out. So we spent some time looking at the ships and the cutest little gunboat that they had in the harbor. This tiny little gunboat. Like one guy can fit on it to patrol the park there where all the ships that they have on display. Just hysterical. But that's where we're going to be. Going to enjoy our good friends in the Boston area. Looking forward to that. So a quick programming note on that front. Now, Ron DeSantis. Again, we're going to hear a lot of this. Whenever DeSantis's name comes up, think authoritarian. Because evidently Axios has fired a reporter because that reporter said that a recent event that DeSantis had was propaganda. And you look at the statement that they put out, because DeSantis released a statement saying that they were going to expose the scams that they are trying to push onto our students across the country. And it's propaganda. So this reporter in an email said it's propaganda. This isn't a press release. Well, that made some people angry. And some people don't like that. Now, remember, Florida's the state where there's a piece of legislation banging around that if you speak badly of, if you're a blogger and you're going to speak about DeSantis, the lieutenant governor, or the legislature, you have to register. If that shouldn't freak you out, I don't know what. Look, I'm a free speech guy. Say what you want. In fact, I find some of the really horrible stuff that they write about Biden to be quite comical. And vile, vain, horrible. But, that people's minds work in these spaces and that anyone would read it for actual information, I find comical. But I don't think you should have the right taken away from you or have Big Brother looking over your shoulder. But this is what we're going to expect from a DeSantis if he ever rises to the level of president. And I remember, this is the same guy who there was a prosecutor he didn't like. He didn't think that prosecutor was going to do what he wanted, so they removed him, put his own prosecutor in, where the state Supreme Court said, you have broken the Constitution. You are wrong. But the federal judge who ruled on this said, there's nothing I can do about it. And now it's going through more of a court process. Doesn't matter how many tax dollars he squanders. He's wrong. But that doesn't matter because it's not what it's about. It's about power and control. Because here, while this is all going on, he still has his prosecutor where he wants them, going after the people that he disagrees with or that disagree with him. So for me, this is important to be paying attention to. When these things pop up, and they will continue to pop up time and time again, working people, be weary, because you are on the list. These are not your champions. Authoritarians never are champions of working people. They're champions of the wealthy, the powerful, the elites, not you and me. So be wary. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CB Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.